You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour of day one.
And we've had two of the three coaches up here today. The other coach, Brian Kelly, was here before we got on the air. But certainly a fascinating conversation about an hour and change ago with Jimbo Fisher. Billy Lucci certainly is close to Jimbo Fisher as anybody in the industry who operates Texags. Billy, good to see you, first of all.
And
always. Just characterize these last few months among those who pay a great deal of attention to you and your work in relation to Jimbo Fisher.
It's been really interesting talking to Jimbo this offseason off the rec, you know, just with what I do and what he does. We've had a relationship since he's gotten here, and Paul, I'd say I remember prior to the 2020 season talking to him, and he was really, I would say, down, you know, between missing out on spring ball with the pandemic and the shutdown, and then right before the season, remember, they changed the schedule and they went to the 8-game SEC or 7-9 game, whatever it was. Yeah. All SEC schedule. Yeah. And A&M all of a sudden goes from playing Fresno and Colorado at home to Tennessee on the road and Florida. And I remember him just going, we're going to be fine. But he was so excited about that team. And it was close to not happening. You know, it had built up to year three, and it almost didn't happen. This year, this offseason, interestingly enough, because if you read the stuff outside of College Station, it's not the most optimistic. No. It hasn't been the most positive. It's been, well, they have a really high ceiling with that talent, but there's that but, and I understand it because they went 5-7 last year. But I think Jimbo sounds more optimistic and excited about the football team he's putting on the field this year than any since he's been here, with 2020 being right there with it. You can just – it's different. It's different hearing from him. And the most interesting thing about that is what he doesn't talk about a lot. And I heard him open up to you about it today, which I found really interesting. So – only you can get him to say, apparently, that Bobby Petrino's calling plays, because that's been the talk outside
of the
room.
By the way, when he said it, I didn't even blink an eye, because I thought that was already known.
That's what everyone out there is talking about. Everything, every show I come on, why won't he say it? And then they said, well, he said it to Paul. But I think what has he, for whatever reason, and you probably can dive into the psychology of coaches better than anyone, for whatever reason, he hasn't wanted to just come out and say that. But inside the program, it's kind of assumed, and everybody understands that. And I think what he hasn't conveyed as much to the outside that I've gathered is he's really excited about not only the addition of Bobby Petrino, but they've also added an analyst that you are very familiar with that people don't talk about in Jim Chaney. Oh, yeah. And you look at his resume, and you know him and his personality – I think it's a great mesh, and I think Bobby Petrino has been – it's a pretty fascinating fit, because he doesn't have to do media. He doesn't have to do this. He recruits quarterbacks, essentially, and skill guys. Doesn't have to do the donor, the appearances, the speaking engagements. The dude finally is just coaching ball, and I think he's a different guy doing it.
Jimbo Fisher told us that there have been moments when he hasn't called plays, but not many. But he made it clear, and I think that this is important. He's still the head coach, and a lot of times people think that when you bring in a name, OC, you go home. You don't.
Yeah. And I think the misconception, you know, Jimbo Fisher is going to be heavily involved in that offense. And they now created what I think is a pretty good think tank with Petrino, Chaney, Jimbo. Coley's been an OC at Miami and Georgia. You look at this offensive – Adazio's been a head coach at three stops. Right. There's a lot of offensive acumen in that room. And I think it's kind of, you know, it's reinvigorated Jimbo to where, like, he probably is really enjoying sitting in there bouncing ideas with a lot of veteran coaches. And I think that was important. Because with Garrett Riley, who I love the Clemson hire of him, but imagine if Jimbo had hired him and the lack of experience and the lack of familiarity, and we get in the fourth quarter against Auburn at Kyle Field in September and things get tense and dicey and it's a third and four, does he just rip it right back? I don't think that's the case with a veteran like Petrino that he's coached against, that he respects the way he does. So the whole thing is fascinating because he's going to be heavily involved, but I think it frees him up. Not every day of the week. He's already been recruiting. He does all the other stuff. But on Saturdays, if you got to go talk to the O-line, they're struggling, or you want to go ask DJ Durkin, hey, can we get out of this three-man front, or what do we need to do to stop the run? He can do that now instead of sitting there worrying about, well, we might be getting the ball back. I need to figure out these next three or four plays.
Do we know where Petrino will be during the games?
Good question. I do not. I need to ask that question. I'd imagine in the box. If I had to bet money, I'd say in the box.
Because, I mean, every coach is different.
Yeah.
Some Saban, well, no, he likes him right there so he can
talk to him.
Exactly. But, I mean, most of the great ones have called it from above. I don't know. I've always wondered how you call it from the field.
And you've been down on the field, obviously.
It's chaotic. I mean,
it's so hard to – I think it's an art form that you can get – And that's where Jimbo's obviously going to be as a head coach. I would love to find out, and to find out that he is going to be in the box. I think that would be perfect.
And I don't want to oversell you, but I'm going to. I mean, yeah. You are as plugged in as anybody. And when you say you know Jimbo Fisher, you know him.
Yeah.
Unlike the rest of us who bump into him a couple of times a year. In relation to Bob Petrino, without divulging what you hear at these quiet little conversations, what's he been like during this period?
Well, interestingly enough, I've gotten that from other people. And, you know, Paul, you've been doing this, I don't even want to say how long, because I'm on 25 here, and I feel older than dirt. But, you know, the best people to talk to are the ones that are the glass half empty guys around the program. And so when they tell you that something positive, you go, okay, that carries a little more weight because they're usually, oh, this is not good. Even those people are saying, Bobby Petrino's been not at all what, like, you would have expected, let's say, from what we hear. Again, I think it's because he's just coaching ball.
Yeah.
And everyone in the building has said he's been great. He's gotten a great response out of recruits and the players. And that's what I put the most stock in, is the kids come in now and do interviews with me, you know.
Sure.
Wigman, particularly like, say, Wigman or Anaya Smith. And they come in there and they're just like, Coach Bobby. And they're talking about just the laid back. It's different than what I expected. Because all I remember is Bobby Petrino lighting A&M up at Arkansas. And I remember all, you know, about the job moving around and all the stuff, but it's been good. And I, we know it's not going to go perfectly, but I don't think it's this, man, these two guys can't coexist type thing that people make it out to be. In fact, it's been the furthest thing from it. Are they ever going to disagree? Hell yeah.
Sure.
On a Saturday in the SEC, you just mentioned Nick Saban. We've seen him. We're going to see that. And when we do, I mean, hopefully they win that Saturday, because if not, you know what the headlines are going to be.
But without knowing, I mean, I do know Petrino, and, you know, this is not the guy that was, you know, dethroned. This is not the guy that had it going and then lost it at Louisville. I mean, this is a guy that's late in his career, and there's been more conversation about him this year than at any time since probably Lamar Jackson's final year. So, I mean, he knows what's at stake. I mean, he could completely resurrect his coaching career.
Could be his last shot to get back to that high level. It is going to be his last shot to get back to that high level. And his name actually was the first one that came up to me behind the scenes of an OC hire. I didn't really believe it. I kind of said, okay, it makes sense. There are some connections on Jimbo's staff to Bobby. But I kind of just didn't believe it. I said, well, he's at Missouri State. And then I was told, no, no, no. He really wants to get back to this level, get back to the SEC, and then where it goes from there is fine. But he just wanted to get back to big-time football. And I think he took that UNLV job because I think they kind of floated it. Well, no, see if, you know, and they were, it was kind of like one of these. And then they circled back and said, look, and I believe this, and I know this is true. Jimbo said, this is the best guy for this job right now to help us win this year. That's who I want. And I think A&M, you know, the people that sign off on such decisions said, if you want him, let's go get him. And by then he was at UNLV with Odom.
Finally, Billy, and this is more of an off-the-field conversation where I'm going, and it's always hard to gauge fans, especially in the off-season, but last year was such a roller coaster ride. Nobody is talking about the money and his job status, because I don't think it's hard to imagine that being on the table. Mm-hmm. But what do you hear from the people that communicate with you every day?
I think there's just – here's what I hear every day, and it's from the person sitting in the top third deck. It's the people – I was at a wedding last week, and there are people from all over the SEC there that are – everybody – you know this. A&M's been a kind of a fascinating story since they came into the league, all the way up to, you know, next week when they do, you know, a Johnny documentary. It's been, and by the way, my hair is going to look really bad.
I can't wait.
But it's all over the map. But they've been in the center of it, good, bad, ugly, all of it for a long time, for almost 12 years now. As crazy as that sounds, but from the fan in the third deck to the biggest money donors, and I think they just A&M, as you know, they want to be good so badly, and they feel like they're doing everything they can. And I think they got to the point this offseason where they said, you know what, let's line up and support the guy we hired. And the expectation is that he's going to win and win at a high level. And they said they've done everything they can. And I think Jimbo, I still think he's the fit at A&M. That doesn't guarantee it's going to work. But I believe he's the fit at A&M. And I think people that matter are kind of – even the fans are kind of saying, you know what, last year was probably the anomaly. It still needs to do better than get back to what it was, which has been the, you know, 9-4 type. It needs to go higher than that, but they want to see a big bounce back this year. And I think maybe that 9-win plateau would tell you, okay, they're getting back, you know, to getting back on that course.
Final question, Texas.
Yeah.
A lot on the line for them this year as well. And as Aggie fans watch that, knowing what's ahead a year from today.
Yeah.
What is the thought process?
I deal with Longhorns every day. Love them, hate them. It's fun, but I think Sark's got a big year ahead of him too. They should not go worse than 10-2. If they go worse than 10-2, with that talent on that schedule, I'm watching them last year against Washington or in any game, and they got a 5-star tailback, tight end, quarterback, 2 receivers. And they're getting shut down by TCU, who gave up like 120 points in 2 playoff games. There's a lot of that going. And I'm going, if he loses 3 or more, they're not going to fire. They shouldn't fire him. But I would have some real red flags. I think they should win the Big 12 this year. And if they do, so as I say, if they don't, I would have real concerns about his ability going in the SEC. But if they do, they're riding some nice recruiting momentum right now. I think they're doing a hell of a lot better job than OU is in terms of preparing to come into this league. I think the Sooner fans are in for the rudest awakening because, well, they've been going, except last year, 10-2, 11-1, making the playoffs. They've been doing that because they've been doing it against the Big 12. We see that in the playoffs every year. Their expectation level is here. Texas, and this is not a shot, it's reality, they're making fun of A&M for a losing season. I think they've had 3 of them in the last 10. So, if they come in the SEC and hit 9-3 year one, they're going, oh, I thought we were going to get run out. OU's the opposite. And I think Texas and Sark are doing a better job of recruiting than OU and Venables. And I think this year they're going to have a huge talent advantage over the Sooners. They have to win that game. If Texas can win a Big 12, they come in with momentum and I think a really good roster. If they don't and they go 9-3, 8-4 again, you'll go, he had the best talent in every game he played but one, which is Bama. Why couldn't they get it done? And now they're going into the high-rent district. You're not good. Ames, Iowa's tough to play at because the grass is high. Mississippi State's tough to play at because 40,000, 50,000 cowbell. You know, having watched both leagues, it's a night and day difference the week to week to week. And anybody in coaching that's honest with you will tell you that. So you better come in with some momentum. A&M didn't, but Johnny and Mike Evans and at the time Sumlin provided that, Cliff Kingsbury. You got to avoid getting hit in the mouth in round one because this really is a 15-round heavyweight fight, not just every season but in the long haul. So this year is, I think, really important for Texas, and I think OU has a lot of work to do coming into this league.
I can't wait to be talking to you about Texas every week. Billy Lucci.
We did it again.
Thank you, Billy.
All right, Paul.
So great to see you.
Thank you.
We are going to take a break. We have a lot more to do here, some very special guests remaining. We've already talked to Jimbo Fisher and Coach Drink. Chris Lowe joining us next.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're not done yet. It's quiet here. Most of the big names are back on their private jets, but Jesse Simonton from On Three has hung around, and we appreciate it. Jesse covering the first day, the national columnist. And Jesse, you're writing about Jimbo Fisher and Bob Petrino, which has been a big theme the last 2 hours here. What did you learn
it
today?
It certainly has been. I just think it's been hilarious that, you know, as fast as Jimbo can talk, a Texas auctioneer, he can go out there and cattle call with the best of them. And yet, every time he's been asked about his offensive coordinator this offseason, he gets mighty short and awfully coy about any sort of specifics. And he doesn't offer or need to give us anything. It's going to come out on the field. And I think that's what we need to see. Can the offense change in 2023 down in College Station?
Yeah, I didn't hear his address in the room behind us, but I did talk to him about an hour and a half ago, and he made it out to me like it's no big deal, that, you know, he's done this before, although I really don't remember many instances when he didn't call the plays.
Yeah, it's hard to find that on his resume when Jimbo Fisher hasn't been the primary play caller. And then it's been almost 20 years, I think 20 years, since Bobby Petrino was an offensive assistant and not the head coach at a certain program. And so we're talking about two of the most stubborn, you know, coaches in this industry. So it's going to be fascinating to play out whether the marriage is combustible or whether it's a perfect union. I think we're going to know pretty early in this season.
What I have found interesting today, just listening to the talking, and one of the more prominent people I was on with today said, I don't really expect that much from A&M this year, but maybe, and I'm like going, wasn't it 2 years ago that this was the year? I mean, I've never really been able to fixate on a program where the goalposts keep changing.
I mean, just today, not in his big session, but in another breakout session, Jimbo says, you know, literally addressing the fact that he's an, you know, grade A A-lister on these 2023 hot seat rankings, that you know, the pressure he feels it himself, that whether he was 1-3, which he's never been at Texas A&M, even at 5-7 a year ago, they didn't start 1-3, or 10-0, also never done that at Texas A&M, hasn't even won 10 games. I just feel like there's an uncomfortability around kind of the whole situation. Again, if they can manage to win 8, 9, 10 games, suddenly that dissipates. But right now, it's a bunch of hot air.
Yeah, and again, I also was struck how different Jimbo Fisher was today. Last year, he came in smoking. I mean, he was still experiencing the afterglow of the taking on daddy.
Was saving. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that I don't think that came up today. I mean, it's not even like that's even a relevant story anywhere in the world.
No, and the fact that, you know, he kind of went toe-to-toe with Nick last offseason and then almost beat him, you know, think he kind of almost feels like, even though I went 5-7, somehow I kind of maybe won a small battle there. So, strange.
Okay, we've talked about what was said. Now, I'm really curious with your expertise, what do you think is going to happen? If you had to paint a canvas, a picture of how this is going to play out, what do you think?
I mean, I do think that Texas A&M is positioned for a rebound season. It's hard to be worse than they were a year ago offensively, 100th or worse in scoring. They're around 99th in third down. The explosiveness has been a persistent problem. But the pieces are there. I mean, this is a program that is recruited as well as any team not in Athens, Tuscaloosa, or Baton Rouge in the SEC. And so five-star Evan Stewart, if you can unlock that potential. Connor Wegman, I do think that this is a guy that, you know, was a blue chip recruit, and if given the offensive coaching, which I do think is important here, something that's not been talked about a whole lot. Yes, Bobby Petrino's in that offensive room. What sort of role and voice will Jim Chaney has? He did a lot of nice things with quarterbacks at Georgia in the, you know, not too distant past. What can he do? Can he unlock and kind of be a valuable resource, not only with Jimbo and Bobby, but kind of having a guy that's been in the SEC a long, long time.
The question is, will he be hurt? There's going to be a lot of chatter between the other two.
That there certainly will be. And you know, you throw Steve Adazio in that mix, and that's a whole lot of egos.
It really is. But, and again, I don't know what analysts are allowed to say or what they're not allowed to say, but it's really about Petrino and Jimbo Fisher. So, depending on how this season goes, and I just saw on the screen, the over and under 7.5, which is a puny number when you consider
expectations.
Yeah.
And the amount of money that they've paid Jimbo. I mean, you know, the fact that he has kind of the $75 million golden parachute's awfully nice. But I've written and said throughout this offseason, if Texas A&M goes 7-5, tell me what the price of oil is and, you know, come Thanksgiving, because I think that there's going to be some barons down there and some boosters that say, hey, if we're making enough shekels, we may want a new coach here.
And I've heard varying conversations today, because I've talked to a number of different people that cover A&M, and there's not a consensus. I don't think you can automatically say what some people said. Well, there are no issues. I mean, I think he's in a moderately good position, because he, in a strange sort of way, and I know you're the writer, I'm just blowing hot air, but he has managed to do as well in the offseason following a 5-7 record as you can do.
Well, he has, and I do think that's just specifically because folks look at his roster and they say, yeah, it has more stars than most other people. And yet, Paul, that really has not, again, translated not only to just, you know, success on the field in terms of wins and losses. They have all this four and five-star talent on the defensive line. That was the primary position of that heralded recruiting class 2 years ago. One of the worst run defenses in the country a year ago. So at some point, the talent has to, you know, measure and translate to actual production and success.
Jesse Simonton, great stuff. I mean, just love it. We have to do this again very soon from On3. Come back. We will see you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Chris Lowe joining us next. A couple of other guests as we round out day one of SEC Media Days.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Chris Lowe joining us. Always, I just love when Chris drops by. I just listen because there's nothing more I can add because Chris spent some time today with Jimbo. He's the Saban whisperer. So tell us what's really going on in this conference right now.
You tell me. I mean, Kirby Smart's sort of taken it by storm the last 2 years, Paul, and has done what a lot of people didn't think anybody could do, and that's sort of make Alabama and Nick Saban a little bit of a footnote the last couple of years. and yet you hear all this talk that, well, Bryce, what's happened to Nick? Has he lost his fastball? We were just talking off the air. You know, you realize that to me this sort of tells you and puts in perspective what he's done at Alabama. If they don't win the national title this year, it will be the first time since he's been there that they've gone longer than 2 years and not won a national title. Now, you tell me that's consistency personified.
No, I love to get inside Saban's head by asking you these questions. But, you know, let's not assume he hears all this. We know he hears all this.
You bet he does. Now, Nick's not one that sits around and reads Twitter or reads message boards, but he understands that people think, well, maybe Alabama's taking a step back. They're not the factor they once were. As I said at the outset of our conversation, that Georgia is the big, pardon the pun, the big dog now in the SEC. And listen, no one's more motivated or loves challenges more than Nick Saban. He understands that, but he's also as self-motivated as anybody I've ever been around. And I think that's probably what drives him more than anything.
And knowing that, you know, he's digging down deep, but he's also a realist. I mean, he's not a delusional person, and he sees this league where it is. I mean, there's only so much you can do about that.
It's a different league than it was 5-6 years ago. You got Brian Kelly in the league now. Look at the coaching. Look at the lineup of coaches in this league now. What he did in year one at LSU, Kirby Smart has in a few years has built a juggernaut. Tennessee's a lot better under Josh Heupel. Tennessee's gone a decade and been wandering in a wasteland, in a football wasteland. I still think Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher, and maybe I'm not in the same camp as everybody else, I bet you they have a big year this year and are a factor. I'm not picking them to win the West, but I bet they are a factor in who wins the West. It's just a different landscape across the league.
Story came out Friday. You live in Knoxville. You're tied into that program. You watch this unfold in a horrifying real-time effect, reporting on it for ESPN. But your thoughts on what if anything did the probation, the sanctions? I don't even know what I mean. Sanctions is kind of a loose word, but what did all that mean?
Well, I would say first, Paul, that the whole idea of vacating wins, to me, there's no more hollow punishment in all of college sports and vacating wins, especially when you're vacating wins that don't mean a whole lot in 19
and 20. They were great wins.
You know, it's not like they're beating Bama and Georgia and Florida, and I'm not meaning to make light of it.
I'm trying to think of the best win they had to vacate.
Probably the bowl win over Indiana. This is what I make of it. Tennessee was dead set. They were dead set to avoid a postseason ban. They were willing to do anything, pay $8 million, make a deal, have the state attorney general threaten legal action against the NCAA if they put them on a postseason ban. They were going to do anything they could to make that happen. And whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, I understand where they're coming from. This is the most momentum Tennessee's had in football in two decades.
Yeah.
And they were not going to be caught sitting on the sideline this year with a football team that has a chance to be pretty good.
Outside of the money, which, let's be honest, they can handle, they've already self-imposed the scholarships, haven't they? Or most of them.
They've cut into a bunch of them. I think 28 total scholarship reductions. My information is they've got 10 more they still got to give.
Which is
so they've cut
number.
Into that pretty good. They've cut into some of the recruiting restrictions off campus, on campus. So they've been preparing for this for a while. They understood they were going to get hit. They understand there was going to be the embarrassment of going on probation. Some of the stuff that's out there. The Knoxville News Sentinel's done a terrific job of chronicling some of the things in there with documents and text messages. They knew it was going to be a hit across the board. What they were just not going to have happen, if they could avoid it, was, as I said, have a postseason ban. And that's what happened. The thing I will say this, Paul, you see the 200 infractions, the level one violations, 18. That's a huge number. Yeah. It's an embarrassing number. But then you look at the money involved, $60,000. That doesn't add up. That's weird.
I mean, it's if you're going to cheat big.
Yeah, so either there are a lot of infractions that amounted to absolutely nothing, petty, or somewhere, somehow, the math doesn't add up.
Finally, Jeremy Pruitt. And many people were rampantly speculating that he's going to end up doing something for Nick Saban. Even Kevin Steele probably was acknowledging that privately to some people that at some point Jeremy might move in to be an analyst. Help me understand, other than what I've read, where Jeremy Pruitt's career is right now.
And I don't know that Jeremy even knows, to be honest with you. And you look at it, he would get a year suspension the first year that someone does hire him, an NCAA school.
So let's say theoretically somebody hires him tomorrow. He's automatically suspended for a year.
For the first year.
What happens after that year?
Then he's still under that show cause until 2029, which means if somebody wants to hire him, the first thing that would have to happen is the school would have to go before the NCAA and say, hey, we want to hire this guy. Here's why. This is what we think should happen. And the NCAA still could come back with penalties and say, yeah, you can hire him, but this can't happen, this can't happen. I'll say this. Yeah, absolutely Nick Saban would have been interested in hiring Jeremy Pruitt. He has a lot of faith. And Jeremy is a defensive coordinator, probably knows that defense as well as anybody. I don't think anybody out there in football would tell you that Jeremy is not a really terrific defensive coordinator. Didn't work as a head coach. I don't know when we see him, if we see him. I do think I was surprised.
Can he be an analyst or not?
I think he could, but again, you still have to go before the NCAA.
Even to be an analyst.
I do think that Jeremy wants to coach football. I've talked to him. He certainly wants to coach football again. If you can get through all the red tape of the show cause, I think somebody probably will give him a shot at some point. I was surprised at 6 years. I thought they would hit him. I thought maybe he might get some time served because he hasn't coached college ball for 2 years. They didn't, but they hammered him pretty good. And I keep going back to this, and this is not a defense of Jeremy Pruitt, because you read through some of those documents. Most of what went on was just completely reckless, whether he knew everything or nothing. But the $60,000, when you look at 200 infractions and 18 level one violations. You know, it's not like we're talking about giving 10 guys cars.
No.
60 grand.
60 doesn't go very far anymore.
No, it doesn't. So that's the thing that jumped out to me probably the most, Paul.
Fascinating stuff. As always, Chris Lowe joining us here. Chris, the many thanks. Great to see you.
You bet, Paul. Thank you.
We will take a short break. One more segment to go. A former Tennessee player joining us and one of the most innovative people in the history of sports digital media right here.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're
listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome back. Final segment, and Grant Furking has become a regular here, the wide receiver from Tennessee. And this next guest, I don't know if we have ever talked to you before, but I've wanted to do more than just talk to you. I'd like to pick your brain, and maybe I'd be a multi-zillionaire like you. Shannon Terry, who I'm afraid I'll miss one of your entities, but I can think of at least three or four of the best known sports sites that we are familiar with that you created. Can you give us a brief synopsis of how you've done all this, Shannon?
Passion, love college sports.
You know, Rivals was a point in time where, you know, kind of newspaper downsizing was happening and there was a need for it. 24/7 sports was at a time where you saw search and social algorithms take off. And I think we're back at a time now where it's about authenticity and original content and relationships. And that's what On3 is about.
And I wonder now, I mean, you've done what you've created all the other rivals, so to speak, that, I mean, does that ever concern you that, hey, everyone that we're competing with, and I know that doesn't concern you because you've managed to sell all these for huge sums of money, but it has to be pretty entertaining to look at the tableau, doesn't it?
It does, but it's fun. Look, every time we do this, I think we can do it a little bit better. And the reason I'm actually doing this again is because of where college sports is right now. I mean, when you look at the media landscape, you look at college sports, there's a conflation of so many events that led to the creation of On3. The sports business side, i.e. NIL right now, is the driving force in college sports. But you have conference realignment. You have all the things. It is a wonderful time to be in the business that we are both in.
And, Grant, you had a lot of opportunities coming out of school. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to let you tell it anyway. What attracted you about being with this?
Well,
genius?
You know, Shay and I have known each other for a while, but it's like what he just said is, I mean, there's not a better time to be in this space with all the different, you know, things that are going on in the ecosystem of college athletics. But when I, you know, had my first, you know, real substantive conversation with Shannon, you know, back in June of 2021, NIL was on the horizon, and just with my background and what I had done and what I'd really been passionate about for so many years, but what I was never able to say in the same sentence as, you know, my entrepreneurial background and being a current student athlete, you know, I had my eligibility at risk by saying those two phrases and putting them together. And with NIL on the horizon and when Shannon, you know, of course, who I had known and followed for a long time, but with his vision for On3 and, you know, what we're doing now, it was just the perfect avenue to kind of go and impact athletes. And, you know, one thing we're trying to be so for, and it's so easy to do right now, is being for the athlete and so much of what we do. And, you know, it was just so perfect for me to be so closely removed from the locker room, but to still have a meaningful impact on guys that are still playing and trying to navigate this era.
Shannon, trying to understand what's happening in media has bankrupted a lot of people, not you. Is there any, I realize this might be a better Harvard Business School conversation, but I'm particularly curious, I know the audience would be, is what has guided you throughout your career?
I think passion. And, you know, I've stayed my lanes in that I've stayed in college sports. And
right.
So I think the thing that drives college sports that is a little unique and maybe from the professional sports is passion. And I think we've done a really good job because we focused on the team first, you know, equating coverage around the experience for the fan. And then, you know, over the decades, look, we've been doing this for 30 years now, almost. The distribution vehicles and the monetization, all those things change. But what doesn't change is the fans' love for their team first, the players second. And that's one of the differences between college sports and professional sports.
It seems like so much in this space is now dominated by gambling. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like that has ever been something that has driven you.
I don't bet. Never. In my whole life's a gamble. You know, the big bets that we make are hiring people and building business plans. And so I'm not a gambler. So I don't go there. And I honestly don't know where gambling fits in college sports. And we've been reluctant to do any deals there. I'm not saying that we're not going to do any deals. If we do, we'll be very selective. And, you know, as Sankey mentioned today, you know, the two two things that bother him or worry him, NIL and sports betting. And that second one, I think, is a much bigger problem than NIL.
Yeah, I mean, I sat a couple of feet away from the NCAA president about a month ago in D.C., and he was opening the door, which, I mean, we all know how verboten that used to be. Grant, your connectivity to what's happening on the field, considering you were just on the field a couple of months ago, what are we missing? What is important to fans to try to connect with sites like yours?
Yeah, I mean, Shannon said it. I mean, in college sports, and especially, you know, at the level we're at, and the conference we're here for right now, the best conference in the country, that the passion is real. And, you know, I think something that's so unique about college athletics is, you know, the experience that the fans have to the athlete, you know, the passion that they share in terms of being an alumni, going to games, tailgating, you know, the pageantry of college football, all the things. I think something that's really unique is, you know, student athletes, especially football, love interacting with the fans. And, you know, I think some people probably have an idea that you get really annoyed with the fan base, or, you know, they're always trying to interject and get an autograph. Like, as athletes at 18, 19, 20 years old, that's special. That's cool. You feel that. And, you know, with On3, connecting those passionate fans in each of these markets to the athlete, and then, you know, eventually, hopefully, you know, having the athletes connect with them, you know, just super cool.
I don't know a lot, but I know one thing. We need to do a lot more time with this subject, and I hope both of you will come back very soon, because there is a whole world that we need to explore. Grant, Shannon.
Thank you.
Thank
Paul,
you very,
thank
very
you,
much. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.